Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and blessings, greetings and blessings, greetings and more blessings coming to you live from the upper room of the Sankofa Divinity Talk Show, blog, pod, whatever the case is, whatever it is. I am your hostess, Moses, Dr. Yahshua Elohim, coming to do my thing as my thing, as the divine expression of all that is and all that will ever be. I am here to bring the light and to bring understanding to those who need to know and want to know. Here we go. Today is April the 26th, and yes, it is another glorious day in the neighborhood. It is another beautiful day in the neighborhood. I was just sitting here and pretty much getting myself prepared for the show. Now, you have to understand that I do no script for this show, no script whatsoever. So whatever I may speak, most of it is channeled, and you know, there's a cooperation between me and the guides and my own personal individuality, if you will. But I was just sitting here, and what is interesting is that, you know, when the universe speaks to you, it speaks, I mean, one of the things that it does, or it makes sure that it does for you, is that it synchronizes every event that has taken place within your life during that particular time. So what do I mean by that? So I'm saying that you may be at the grocery store and you may overhear a conversation going on, and they may be talking about trees, you know, and how to plant trees and what have you. And then let's say you go to a clothing store, which is a very different store, a different climate, different population. And you happen to run into a couple of women or men who are talking about planting trees. The same topic. Everybody is talking about trees. So what I'm saying is that, you know, I've been talking about faith. You know, I've been talking about faith. Matter of fact, you know, I'm on a PBN podcast, and I do it every Wednesday. And you know, the Casey Armstrong, who's interviewing me, he asked me, you know, you have to have a lot of confidence to be able to leave home with $34 in your pocket. And I said, no, it's not confidence. That's faith. That is nothing but pure faith. And I'm not saying that at the end of the day, I think it takes a lot of courage to have faith. Confidence is something that can be cultivated. But faith, no, it's something that you already have, and it takes a lot of courage to activate that faith. Matter of fact, you know, a long time ago when I was in the church and I was ministering, before I even get into my conversations, I want to say this. If you feel like you want to call in and ask questions, you can always call in at 563-999-3476. And I should be able to answer your questions there. You are always welcome. Not only that, I am a Reiki Master teacher. I am also a certified professional life coach. And I do virtual one-on-one life coaching. Right now I'm running a five-session program. So You can get the package itself, but as far as, you know, doing a one-on-one here, doing a one-on-one, that I don't do. I do packages. So you can always reach me at sankofadivinity.com. Just leave me a brief message there and submit it. And I'll be sure to get back with you. And you can also contact me at my business number, which is office number, which is 984-444-2157. That is 984-444-2157. So there you have it, folks. So if you're looking for Reiki therapy, Reiki treatment in any kind of fashion, please feel free to get in contact with me, and we'll talk about, you know, the consultations are free, so we can make sure that I am a right fit for you and you're a right fit for me in order for me to conduct any kind of treatment on you. As far as Reiki therapy, I do long-distance Reiki therapy, so as a Reiki master teacher or a Reiki master, that is one of the perks that we have. We can do it long distance. All right. And I am, Sankofa Divinity is all about returning home to self. And one thing that we know without a shadow of a doubt, as you return home to yourself, you have to begin your healing. You have to begin healing yourself. Because healing yourself draws you closer and closer to yourself, okay? As you heal, the love that you have for self is deepened. It's deepened, deepened, deepened. And it's a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing to experience. And it is an enlightening and illuminating experience to have. So, all right. So now I'm going back to synchronicity and how the universe talks to you. So it's almost like it primes you for a particular conversation. So it makes sure that these key words are you're tuning in to these key words. So on the path, as you're going throughout your day, you're hearing the key word. The key word here is faith. You're hearing the key word. Okay. So then when it's time for you to deliver the message, then you're all primed up and you're ready to deliver the message. Faith. It's all about faith. Returning home to self is about faith. Healing oneself is about faith and courage. Okay? It takes courage to turn home to thine self, but it also takes a lot of courage and faith to heal thine self. Okay, because so many times or so often in our lives, we have come to believe that someone outside of us is going to heal us, or someone outside of us knows better than we do, when we're all divine beings and created from the divinity of all that is and all that will ever be. We're all created from the absolute. We're all created from the first causation of all things. Okay, and outside of that, nothing can be created. Nothing can be created. So going back to the synchronicity, what the universe does, it primes you for a particular subject. Like today, I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about returning home to self, and I'm talking about healing thyself. You have to have faith, and you definitely have to have courage in order to do that. So here we are. We're talking about faith. And that's what has been, you know, these breadcrumbs along leading up to the show, that's what has been coming up. So I sit down and I look at my book, one of my books. It's by Charles Capps. It's about the tongue, a creative force. Okay. And I open it up and it says, faith filled words. Huh? So here you have it, faith-filled words. So it begins to tell me the story about Jesus, whom everyone thinks that didn't have any kind of anger in him, didn't show anger, didn't demonstrate anger. Jesus, Yeshua, was a man in flesh, just like I am a woman in flesh. And he had the same opportunity that I have today, if not more, if not more, because we're living in a different time. But nevertheless, the story talks about how he and the 12 disciples were on a journey. I don't know where they were going to, but Jesus, Yeshua, he became hungry. He was hungry. And I'm going to tell you this, today before I even got out, I was like, I took a long walk today. I think I walked like 4 miles plus today, and it was a good walk. And on that walk, I said to myself, I said, you know, I'm really hungry for my divinity. I'm hungry for the growth and the cultivation of my spirituality. I am hungry for that. Okay. So here we are again, faith-filled words. These are faith-filled words. So with that said, I'm saying, you know, what I said, and then, you know, I stepped out. I wanted to go get my hair cut and get my eyebrows done, kind of spruce up my beauty, enhance it. And a man walks in with a T-shirt on, and on the front of the T-shirt, it says, "Stay hungry." That is, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm going to stay hungry. But anyway, moving back to the story, Jesus and his 12 disciples are on a journey going somewhere, and I don't know where they are going. And Bethany. And for some reason he became hungry, and he saw a fig tree far off, and he know within himself that figs, you know, they do bear fruit. You know, a fig tree does bear fruit, and the fruit is the figs. So he was like, well, if I, you know, once I get to this tree, I know that I can eat on this tree because I'm really hungry. So he gets to the tree, and the tree didn't bear any fruit. It did not bear any fruit, and I've seen trees like that. It didn't bear any fruit. Sometimes they don't. But it didn't bear any fruit, and and he became, to me, reading the story, he became upset. He was angry, and I think I want to say internally he was in a rage, simply because he said, "You know what? Since you're not going to have figs for me today to eat, I'm going to curse you to where you don't bear no fruit at all." And I'm like, this guy had a serious, he had an anger issue going on. You know, you remember when he went into the temple and they were doing that nonsense, and he turned the tables over because he thought, you know, they were treating the temple as a gambling hall, if you will, passing and conducting transactions with money and what have you. But do they not do that in the church? You know, some churches, they do it right in the front. They take up an offering, they do it, they handle the money right there in front of you. And then some of the churches, they take up the money and they take it to the back and they do the same thing, and they separate it. You know, the offering goes to the offering, tithes go to tithes, building fund money goes to the building fund, money goes to the children pot, you know, all of these pots, if you will, for the money to go into. And it's just, you know, I find it quite interesting because it says, no man eat fruit of this tree hereafter forever. So he cursed the tree, and his disciples heard him. Oh, my God. So there you have it, folks. That's just another one. But anyway, so here we are. And, you know, my prayer is that every time I come on, that my words do be filled with faith and my faith is filled with the word of truth, however the divine wants to express itself through me. So here we are talking about returning home to self. Returning home to self, and in order to return home to self, one has to begin to heal thine self. Because once you heal thine self and you get home, there's nothing but a celebration going on. Remember last week I talked about how the prodigal son, you know, he was in the pig pen and he came to himself. And that's what happens when one begins to heal themselves. They are coming to themselves. They are returning home. And then after that, after returning home within themselves, then they demonstrate it. They manifest it in some kind of way. How do they manifest it? They may manifest it by the way that they conduct themselves. They manifest it by the way that they have chosen to dress. All kind of things, the way they wear their hair, something is going to change to demonstrate their coming home to self. Something is going to happen with them, and it's going to be demonstrated outwardly so that all can see that this person has changed. I don't know what has changed. I do know that this person has changed. And oftentimes you can feel it when a person has changed. You can feel their energy has shifted in some kind of way. So returning home. In this journey of returning home, you know that we have relationships. We have relationships. We have relationships with people we work with. We have relationships with our neighbors. We have relationships with friends. We have relationships with intimate partners and what have you. All of these are actually vehicles to get you from one place to the other within thyself. So they're there for a particular reason. All things are there for a particular reason. So even if you have coworkers who are just really, really causing much discord within your being and causing you to question who you are, that they are there for that particular reason, so that you can return within. So that you can go within, turning in, okay? Returning home to self. That's the beginning of it, you know? Because when these things happen, what happens? You begin to ask questions like, why am I going through this? Or why am I putting up with this? What is the lesson behind this? How do I supposed to fit in this? How is this person or people supposed to fit in my life? You're constantly doing a self-analysis or self-observation with yourself, okay? And as you do that, you are deepening your relationship with thine self. Not only that, you are beginning to heal. You are beginning to heal. Now, you have to ask yourself, why do I have to begin to heal? Because we're all here. We're here to heal. We are here in this place and at this time to heal ourselves so that we can begin to love ourselves unconditionally. And in doing so, we can love all people outside of us unconditionally, all right? We can allow people to be who they are, what they are, and however they choose to serve, whether it's in alignment with our greater good or not. It does not matter. You just learn to accept people however they are, and you adjust yourself. And you make a decision for your own divinity, or for your own, for the, your own, the own, your own cultivation of your spirituality. You have to make that decision within yourself. And I will say this, is that, you know, as you begin to heal yourself, you will realize that you are worthy. You are worthy to make decisions that benefit you spiritually. You are worthy of that. So if you come across a person who you deem to be, I mean, just, you know, everything to you, and for whatever reason, you feel like that person, you and that person is not, y'all are not in alignment with one another, you are worthy enough to yourself to say, hey, we're not in alignment with one another. We cannot be this, but I will continue to be your friend, and I will choose how I will be your friend. I will choose it. You know, I might not sit down with you. I might not take long walks with you in the park, but if I see you on the side of the road, you broke down or you're hungry or whatever the case is, I will give you food and I will provide you with transportation to get you from one place to the other. You know, and at the end of the day, that's all you want from people anyway. You know, you probably, you know, it's, if you have one good friend, you're doing very good. And I will say this, you cannot expect one person, even a person of significance, that one person to fill all your cups. You have to understand that there we don't live on an island by ourselves, and we can't live in a vacuum. So we have to be in a space of cooperation with everybody else, you know, everyone else. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you might find yourself in situations with people where they're always, for whatever reason, they're always trying to compete with you for some reason, and you have no clue. You just notice that they're always doing things to compete with you, and you're like, why are you competing with me? But what the person doesn't, they're not competing, but what they are doing is they're copying. They're imitating. The frequency, they're trying to imitate the frequency in which you vibe on. But the interesting thing is that they cannot be who you are. They can only copy it. And they don't even copy it accurately, because the substance that has allowed you, that has catapulted you into this frequency in which you're in, they have not that substance. They have not the blueprint. So they're actually building a house on sand, whereas they don't even notice the house that you're standing on was built by rock, by rock, by rock, and the foundation is solid, solidified, crystallized. It cannot be moved. They don't even realize that. They just see what you're doing, and they try to do it as well, but they're just copycatting. You know, they're just copycatting. But the startling revelation is that even a copycatter will fold at some point, because they can't maintain. They cannot maintain and sustain the frequency of authenticity. They can't. They cannot do it. A person who relies on lies, who relies on cheating people, who relies on robbing and stealing and confusing people, manipulating people, they can copycat all they want to authenticity. But let me tell you, by and by, whatever they are copycatting, it is going to collapse. And when it does, it's going to fall directly onto them for the whole world to see. And they will be exposed by their own madness. It's, you know, there is this thing called karma, and karma is nothing more than cause and effect. So whatever you put out there trust me, you will surely receive it back tenfold. Now, if you're on this spiritual path, you ain't got to wait for your karma to come back, because as soon as you step out of line, as soon as you step out of line, trust me, that karma is right there waiting for you. As soon as you get out of your vehicle, as soon as you walk in your house, as soon as you look at your bank account, something is going to take place in your life to say, hey, you remember what you did with da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, the karma has come. You got to pay it. But see, as spiritual beings having this human experience, we should know better. We should know better. And because we should know better, we receive karma quickly, very quickly. It turns around. It's a turnover very quickly, you know. So I try to, and I'm not saying that I don't have knee-jerking experiences when it comes to being authentic when it comes to being authentic. However, I will always, and I will say, always find a way to get back to my center to work that kink out. If I felt like I've wronged someone or I've said something out of the way, I will get back to my center, work it out. And most of the time, if I can find the person, I'll go to them and I say, hey, I need to ask you, I need to apologize for doing such and such and such and such. And that's one of the trademarks of a spiritual being who knows that they are a spiritual being, and they know who they are, they know what they are, and they know how they serve. They will always come back and say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, I shouldn't have carried myself in that manner. I do ask that you forgive me because it was completely out of my character. And I must say, you know, I must say it was all ego. A highly mature spiritual being will always come back and say, please forgive me because I have trespassed against you. And, you know, the interesting thing about that is that, you know, when you think about the Lord's Prayer, as you all know, I'm a Christian. I come from a Christian background, so I use a lot of the doctrination of Christianity. I use it as a reference. But in the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. See, that's cause and effect right there. Whatever I have sown, I have reaped. Whatever they have sown, they have also reaped. Okay? That's the cause and effect. That's the law of the universe. Okay? So, that, you know, and that's what I love about relationships is because they provide a mold, if you will, a container for you to cultivate the expansion of your own consciousness and your own spirituality. It provides a container for you in order for you to do that. And that is such a relief. It's very liberating, because when you come to that realization that everything is here working together for your good, then you can get to a place where you just let everybody off the hook. And there's no one to blame for no thing, simply because everything that you have experienced in your life is for the cultivation and the reinforcement of your own spiritual growth. And that's the beauty in relationships. That's the beauty in the world itself, things that you may be experiencing in the world. You know, we can be out grocery shopping, and then when we're done shopping, we come upon the cashier, but we see that we have to stand in this long line. And you probably got about five people ahead of you. And all of them have, you know, carts full of food. And you standing there with two loaves of bread and a carton of milk and some eggs. Okay? So what do you do in that moment? As a spiritual being, you use the opportunity to cultivate your patience. Because as you cultivate your patience, you cultivate the tolerance of other people and the world itself. And people who come into your life who you love, you cultivate a patience to understand or overstand or understand what they are going through and how it lines up with perhaps something that you have gone through in the past. Huh? So there, everything happens for a particular reason. You may have someone who may say, I'll give you an example. Something happened to me while I was at work. We had some clients to come in, and they looked like they were in a motorcycle group. They're, you know, they had these vests on, these black vests on, and the vest, you know, I had writer on the back. It was called Dragon Slayer. And I was, I'm always amused whenever I see the word dragon. I just, you know, one of the bikers, they just happened to come to the desk and ask me for something. So I helped him out and I asked him, I said, what is this group? You know, this motorcycle group that you're in, the Dragon Slayer. And he looked at me like, you know, and then I said, what is it all about? What, you know, who are you? Who are you? You know, and he didn't answer me. And I looked at his jacket and he had the Confederate flag on the jacket. And I was so tickled. I think I was tickled more than anything because I let him know that I see your Confederate flag on that jacket and I see that you are a Confederate. and I said to him, I said, hey, much light and love, brother, much light and love. You know, that is spiritual maturity. I could have easily shrank back into myself and been somewhat in, you know, felt inferior about it, not only inferior, but been paralyzed by fear that these people are parading through the building with these, you know, these flags on their jacket. I could have did a lot. I could have went totally opposite, but I chose to stay in the middle way. And I said to him, I said, peace and love, my brother. Peace and love, love and light, my brother. And he walked off, and as he was walking down the hallway, it almost felt like he was walking in the hall of shame. It felt as if he was walking the hall of shame. And I just, you know, it was just, it really tickled me because here, you know, I see a lot of Confederate flags, but I have gotten to the point where, first of all, I will say this. I've gotten to a point where I can sit down and have these conversations with people who are of different races. And we can talk about Confederacy and we can talk about slavery. And I can have these conversations with these people without feeling like I'm inferior or I'm less than, or I shouldn't be, or I should be afraid. I can sit down and have these conversations. So because of that, my perception, how I perceive the Confederate flag has absolutely nothing to do with me. I just look at it and say, hey, it's a flag. It's a flag, yes. It has history, but it's not my story. It's not a part of my story. Now, granted, yeah, it may be a part of my ancestors' story, But because of my ancestors, I can look them straight in the face and say, this has nothing to do with me. This is all you. This is all you and your belief system. So, and with that, I just keep it moving. But I stay in the middle way so that I can continue to transfer light and energy, love and energy to that person, no matter how I may see them, or no matter what I may think about them. You know, it just does not matter to me. What matters to me is that my life continue to be governed, guided, and directed by the love and the wisdom of all that is. And I, you know, my prayer is that love and wisdom continue to be my shield and butler, because that's the only way that I can remain under, that is the only way that I will remain under the wings of all that is and all that will ever be. Huh? That's the only way that I will abide under the shadows of the Almighty. So it's truly a blessing to be able to come forth and express myself and allow the divine that is within me to express through me, because it is never I that do with the word. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a clear vessel and channel that is determined and mandated, obligated to spread the good news. And the good news is that the same thing that Yeshua did, the same things that Yeshua came up on this earth to do, Jesus, whatever you want to call him, Buddha, whatever you want to call him, whatever, however you want to call them, the same thing that they have done, they have come and done for us, as far as laying down foundations of the teachings and what have you. Those same things that they have done, we can do too. We can do too. Matter of fact, I believe that Jesus said that. He said that in one of the scriptures. The things that I do, you will be able to do, and not even do the things that I do, but you will be able to do more. You will be able to do more. And I believe him. I really believe him. And that doesn't make me a Christian. It just makes me a person who believes in the truth and who understands and knows truth when I hear it. Now, I will say this about truth. Truth is universal. So whatever I hear, if I hear a Buddhist speaking on the truth, I guarantee you that same truth is going to be found in the Christian doctrine or the Torah and so forth and so on. The truth, you can't get rid of truth. Truth will always be here. I think I read something yesterday, heaven and earth may pass away, but the word of the divine is truth. It will always be here. It will always be here. The word of God will always be here, because the word itself, the spoken word, is the thing that creates all things that exist. So I see I didn't get any listeners, and that's fine with me. That is very fine with me. I'm just very grateful that I came on. Today was a 45-minute show. And I mean, it's just, hey, what can I say? Life goes on, and my life will continue to beautify itself as it goes on. You know why? Because I recognize the ultimate and the divine beauty within myself, and I offer an invitation that you may do the same. It doesn't mean that you need to join a church. It doesn't mean that you need to sit down and pray. No, it doesn't mean that. It just means that you need to ask questions and begin to step towards your divinity. But in stepping towards your own divinity, You must turn within. You must seek the divine that is within you, okay? So with that, I'm going to go ahead and end my show. And as I've said, stated before, it is always a blessing to come forth. And I will be back doing my thing as my thing again. I will be back. When will I be back? I think I'll be back on. I will be back on Wednesday at 1:30 again, doing my thing as my thing and as the divine expression does it through me. So with that, I say to you all, be blessed, stay focused, stay in the light. And if you happen to find yourself in darkness, get all the understanding, overstanding, understanding that you can possibly get. Because at one day, at one point in your life, at some point in your life, you are going to be called to the forefront to give your testimony, to tell your story, to let others know that what you have done and how you've gotten through it, they can do it as well. Huh? So with that, peace, and I say to you all, namaste.